And again, we get to hear some truth from Carlos Wayne Anderson today. So, Carlos! And Sarah, thank you for saying yes to your divine appointment to get him here today all the way from Massachusetts.
I'm so grateful for my friend Sarah. My car broke down on Friday night. I started thinking about how I was going to get here, and the first few people I called let me know that their cars are currently broken down, and a couple of other people were otherwise engaged. No, I can't do it. And I called my friend Sarah, kind of left her for last because she's generally not known as an early riser, and she also is not known to drive after dark. So I thought I'd have a workshop today, and we would get home after dark, and she would have to early rise by 5:30 to pick me up by 7. And I called on her, and she said yes, so I'm so grateful. Thank you, Sarah. Somebody else, please turn on my camera for me. Just hit that little to-go button. I also must say, before I get to my talk, that I was under the impression that my brother, Reverend Britt, was going to call me on stage earlier to give a push for our winter retreat. I have checked in with a number of people as to whether or not they're attending the winter retreat that I'm so excited about. I've been connected to this Unity Church for close to 20 years, and I've never done a Unity winter retreat, so I've been so grateful. And the people that I've talked to generally are letting me know that if it's a choice between going to a winter retreat, and you can see the photograph of the grounds in there, or being on a cruise, that they got to choose the cruise. And I looked at the pictures when I sat down and went, oh, come on now. You can't really blame them. You have a big ship on the ocean and then a nice little winter scene. So in our winter experience of New York, there might not be enough incentive for people to want to go to a winter retreat. But what I want to say about the winter retreats, about any retreat that I'm involved in, is that although there's great food, although it's beautiful accommodations, although there's some really fun, wonderful things that happen, there's a lot of laughter, there's a lot of music, the intention really is the transformation of our minds. And it is available to us in a way that is not available to us if we simply go to weekly services. Coming to weekly services and getting a hit of the energy field, getting a hit of the word, getting a hit of the music or the meditation is wonderful. I refer to this as filling up our gas tank so that we can cruise around in our day-to-day activities for another 7-day period without running out of gas. And of course, we're not talking about petrol, we're talking about spirit, we're talking about that powerful spiritual connection, that capacity to know all as well. So in my experience over all the years of my life, something deeper can happen at a retreat that is not available with just our weekly gatherings. They go very deep. The processes that I bring, there's a lot of work for people to do. Sometime in the hug line, people say, well, are you going to be teaching a lot? And I go, you know, I teach all the time, but at the retreats, I want to turn down the amount of time I give to teaching. You don't really need many more lessons. You don't need more sermons. You need an opportunity to personalize the teachings that you have been given. You need an opportunity to connect with one another, because sometimes in a ministry of this size, you can see people for 5 years and never really get to know them, never get to find out their favorite color, whether they have children, what their basic stories of the thrill of victory or the agony of defeat are. And so retreats allow us enough time and enough concentration that we are able to actually put into practice the deepening, the personalizing of what we study on a week-to-week basis and what's available to us. So, on the surface, if I can go to a winter retreat or a cruise, if I can do both, I'd sign up for that. I am speaking in behalf of the winter retreat right now. Because if you look at the program, you might not be as drawn to the photograph of trees and fields filled with snow, when right above it, at the top of the page, is a cruise liner. So this is my plug. If you are on the fence, if you have not decided, please make a decision to consider joining us in the winter retreat. I also must say that this is January 7th, year of our Lord, 2018, so I must do a shout out to my niece and my goddaughter. Sianna, happy birthday. You are 13 today, and you are a thrill. Now to the lesson. I was grateful that Sean Moniker, when the decision was made that Sean was going to come and be a part of the ministry here, and that starting in 2018, we would each be doing a Sunday, Sean contacted me directly or through Britt, I can't remember, but he had an idea. How about in the year 2018, if we each Sunday offer a deepening of one of the parables of Jesus? And he said, you can think about this. And I said, I don't need to think about it. I think it's a great idea. I don't know, as I've maybe said before, I don't know what happened, but I'm glad it happened. Because for most of the years of my life involved with Unity churches, not only all throughout the United States, but in various parts of the world, my experience with Unity churches kind of was how great this organization is, how great these people are, but a lot of them seem like they are afraid of Jesus, like that they're paranoid. I remember when I first started speaking at Unity churches, like 30-some years ago, I had so many ministers say, can you give examples like out of Emerson or Shaw rather than Bible scriptures? Or Carlos, you said Jesus three times. People here are afraid of Jesus. And part of my first two or three years here, it was an ongoing feedback that I got from Reverend Paul. It was like, Carlos, I should have known what I was getting into hiring a Jesus boy, but I thought you'd be able to turn down the volume on some of that. And it doesn't seem like you have. And I said, buddy, if you don't think I've turned down the volume, you haven't seen me at the church I pastor, where I get that at all. Well, one thing I've noticed, especially over the last couple of years, and it seems to be growing, is that Unity, the entire movement, is getting into a posture of embracing Jesus. Mm-hmm. I mean, every time I open up a daily word, it's like, there he is. There is something he said. It's amazing. I was struck by it again when you brought us our daily word today. And let me tell you this. One of my most favorite things that I love to say about Jesus is that I love what he has to say about you. Mm-hmm. I am blown away by what he has to say about you. I'm blown away by his full confidence that you can overcome any challenge you will ever face. Mm-hmm. I'm blown away by his full confidence that you can leave an experience of living death and enter into eternal life while still here. I'm blown away, and he moves my heart when he calls you his pet names, like my little lamb, my child, my sister, my brother. He is audacious enough to make claims for you that you would never make for yourself, such as greater things than he has done, he's counting on you to do. Such as the power that is within you is greater than any challenge you will ever face. Things he says to comfort you. Things like nothing, no thing shall ever be able to separate you from the love of God. The best thing I can say about him is that I love what he says about you. He adores you and claims he will for eternity. He has promised you, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. And even though you have had moments where it seemed you were forsaken, you are sitting here breathing, the living, physical proof that God is a God of resurrection. I loved it when he said, if you get lost, he will leave the 99 and track you down and hug you up and carry you home to peace. Yep. Best thing I can say about him is that he says the best of things about you. 40 years ago, I was with a Puerto Rican friend of mine, and he came to where I live in Massachusetts, where at that time, most of the people there were never exposed to any Spanish-speaking people, had never met any Spanish-blooded people. And I took him to a little bar he used to hang out, and I was introducing him. His name was Jesus. And I introduced him, and somebody said, Jesus, H-E. And he went, no, spells like Jesus. J-E. Well, how can that be Jesus? Why don't they call you Jesus? Well, that's not how we pronounce J-E-S-U-S in Spanish. The U is a U sound. The E is a E sound. And the J always sounds like an H. And when he said that 40-some years ago, I remember going, oh my God, wonder what would happen to me if I changed the pronunciation of the J and left the rest just like I always said it. That equals he's us. The best thing that I can say about Jesus is that he believes you and he are one. He believes that you are in him, he is in you, and you're both in what he calls our Father, which is heaven on planet Earth. Jesus, he's us. I got a little thing afterwards. Somebody said, isn't it going to be fun to say he's me? And I went, no. J-E-S-U-S, you can't turn that into he's me. It's he's us. There would be danger in turning it into he's me. But there is heaven and all its possibilities if I turn it into he's us. He can't be me without being. And he can't be you without being me. And he can't be any of us without also being the people we have issues with. Today's lesson, the others, the parable. The parable, and a parable is a story that has important psychological and spiritual information and power. He begins this parable in answer to a question. He has said that we must love our neighbor as ourselves. And so someone in the crowd said, well, who is our neighbor? And he answered with this parable. One day there was a man, he said, was on a crooked road from its way to, from Jericho to Jerusalem. And thieves fell upon this man. And they beat him profusely. And they robbed him. And they left him on the side of the road for dead. At some point, a priest comes by. You know us priests. Claim we work for God. Claim we only do what God wants us to do. Speak the word that we might uplift people and call people into being better people. The priest saw that man beaten by the road. And in this parable, Jesus says, he walked on by. is the man later. A Levite came down the road. Now in this situation, in this organization, you might look at Brother Britt and say, well, he's a priest. Reverend Carlos is a priest. Reverend so-and-so, they're priests. But I'm just a congregation member. I'm just a member. Well, you're a Levite. You are someone who claims to have dedicated yourself to living at the highest possible level available for you to live. To love at that level, to have peace at that level, to have patience at that level, to have compassion at that level. This Levite, he walks by, sees the man. Jesus says, he just walked by. Imagine a priest and a Levite claiming they work for God and live to do God's will. Walked on by. Then Jesus pauses, and then he speaks again. Then came, he said, then came along someone not of that tribe, someone who didn't claim to be all that, to be all God. Just happy to be a Samaritan. Jesus is speaking to Jews, his brothers and sisters, and they despise Samaritans. They despise Samaritans. They think Samaritans are phony, they're mixed blood, they've got it the wrong way. If you think some Democrats can have some issues with some Republicans, you ain't seen nothing like that. They despise the Samaritans. Jesus says, now a Samaritan comes down the road. Everybody braces for what comes next. Jesus said that when the Samaritan sees the man by the road, his heart was open with compassion. He got down off his donkey. He kneeled in the dust. He poured honey and wine and oil in this man's wounds. And then he picks the guy up, puts him on his donkey, takes him to an inn, pays his keep for the night, stays with him, nursing him through the night. And in the morning, when he has to go about his business and leave the inn, he tells the innkeeper, I will be back in a few days. Here, take this money. And when I get back, if the expense of your care for him exceeds the money that I have left with you, I will pick up the rest on my tab when I get back. Imagine being a Jew who hates Samaritans, who believes they are less than me, less than our people. Here's this Jesus cat saying that one of our priests passed him by and one of our top spiritual people passed him by. And now he's telling us that this Samaritan helped this dude. And then Jesus looks at the man who has asked the question, who is my neighbor? And Jesus likes to answer a question with a question. So he says to this man, which one of these do you think acted as a neighbor? I have heard Jesus asking me that question more times in my lifetime than I can tell you. We can easily slip into thinking we are better than they. We can easily slip out of the consciousness of the oneness of all humanity and get into I'm me and you're not, we're us and you're not. And the others are the ones we tend to pass on by. This parable, interestingly enough, our own people passed us by. when a man we had condemned helped us out. He's us is always seeking to awaken us to our oneness and to get us to treat one another not only as we would like to be treated, but as God treats us. Giving the sunshine and the rain and food and oxygen to each and every one of us, regardless of how we act up, regardless of how we mess up, regardless of how critical we can be and judgmental we can be and attacking we can be. And the Creator just keeps breathing air into our lungs and allowing us to breathe it out. Unity is a field of infinite possibility. And we will never realize that possibility as long as we identify others as less than, outside of ourselves. It's not he's me, it's he's us. And that might be easy to say here in Unity. Well, yes, he's us. But what around when I get around some of the people in my part of Massachusetts who exercise outright racism, outright sexism, outright homophobia? Am I still willing to stand in their company and go, he's us? It's not he's me and not them, because they have issues according to my judgment. He's us, or he ain't nobody. He's us, or he ain't nobody. I love what he says about you. He says that eventually, step by step, day by day, prayer by prayer, meditation by meditation, song by song, you're awakening to the truth of you, who you are. You are following him in the transformation of your mind. Suffice it to say that Jesus died before he was crucified and that he ascended before his body raised up. He died daily to any notion of being a separate self. And he resurrected every day in consciousness to the truth that I am is everyone. So God is in heaven. Heaven is in you. Holy is your name. God wants you to know you have nothing to fear and that there is nothing and no one to blame. You've been informed. Your captivity is over. You've been informed. In truth, you're free. This is what he says about you. You are the light of the world. How audacious an idea is that you, the light of the world? How can the light of the world be afraid of the dark? I have 11 flashlights in my house, and ain't a single one of them afraid of the dark. Not one. They sit ready. Because they know it will be dark. Darkness visits every life. And they know that all the owner has to do is flick a little switch, and they will shine the darkness away. Isn't it amazing that he thinks that about you? That you can never be afraid of the dark. After all, you are God's flashlight. Ever ready. You are the light of the world. There are no others. Only reflections of you and me and everyone. Thank God for the unity of New York. I look forward to seeing you on the first Sunday of February, and I look forward to seeing those of you who join us at the winter retreat for a deepening and a manifesting of everything I have been blessed to teach. Happy birthday, Sienna, and thanks again, Sarah.
As I sit and breathe, I release and I let go. I release and I let go of all notions of other. I allow myself to remember the truth of oneness, that I am one self. To everyone, I offer peace of mind. To everyone, I offer gentleness. I release and I let go. Of any judgments that are negating, any condemnations whatsoever, placed on myself. To me, I offer quietness. To me, I offer peace of mind. To me, I offer gentleness. For I am one self. Limitless in peace. grace of the Almighty One is mine. Unearned, unmerited, freely given grace. I right now let grace sweep over my soul. With an attitude of gratitude, I return to this place, here to the power of now. Thank you, God. Your grace is sufficient. So